Testing 1, 2. Good evening, everybody. Welcome, it's nice to have you with us. Who's here for the first time? Welcome, welcome, welcome. And now, did you kick the chair out from under? It's okay. Probably God's busy with her. All right. We handed you out some stickers. Did everybody get some? All right. Okay, here's why I handed out those stickers. Because I want you to know that we are putting the videos of these meetings on YouTube. How many of you have watched them on YouTube? Okay, quite a few of you. All right, now for those of you that haven't been on there, and for those of you that don't know how it works, if you go onto YouTube, the reason my name is there, Rion Lombard, because the channel is called Rion Lombard. If you key in Rion Lombard on YouTube, it should, one of the hits that you should get would be the Rion Lombard channel. And if you go onto that channel, you will be able to see the videos, and you will be able to download them, and you will be able to see what we do here. And the reason, one of the reasons we want to encourage you to help us, because we need to create an awareness that these things are there. We have a website. Our website is extremely busy. Ed, just off the top of your head, roughly how many downloads have we had now of the CDs, roughly, since we started? Okay. 12,000. In excess of, which is a lot. Now, we would love for people to also make use of the videos. The reason we were doing this is because it's a lot easier when people can see what we're doing. Let me tell you, one of the reasons why I felt that it was time for us to put these things on YouTube is because our ministry is a bit different. How many of you know that this is a different ministry? The stuff you see, yeah, you don't really see many, many other places. In fact, probably the amount of places in this country where you will see this, you can put on your one hand. And that always causes confusion. When you go and you tell people what you saw and what you experienced, if they weren't yet to see it themselves, they always come up with a long story why this is not good or this is rubbish or it can't happen that way, what. Well, guess what? Now you can tell them that they can see exactly what you saw. Because we're putting it up there, and we're also putting up the testimonies of people that were healed by God and what God, some of the miracles that God has done. And it's just a wonderful tool to advance the kingdom of God. And you know what? We're living in a time where, you know that scripture where Jesus says, you will do what I have done, and even greater things you will do. Now, I don't know if it's possible to do greater miracles than what Jesus did. Let's be very honest. He was the Son of God, and he was, the Bible says, the anointing that was upon him was beyond measure. But Jesus did not have access to the internet. Jesus did not have access to big sound systems. Jesus did not have access to social media and all of that type of stuff. We do. So with us, things can work very differently if we all work together. If you believe that this ministry is a blessing, then help us to share that blessing with others. If God has taught you something, yeah, and you believe there's other people that could learn like you, then please allow us to reach them by helping us to spread the word. This is not something we can do. This is something we need your help with. This week, Eddie put links on our website to direct people to the YouTube, and I'm actually looking forward to see what that's going to do, because we have a lot of traffic going to the website, and I believe that it's going to be a blessing to people to know that we also have the videos. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, bless God. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for the amazing things, Lord, that you do in our midst, for the way in which you bless us, for the love that you have for us, for the purpose and the destiny that has been placed upon every single life that is here. I thank you, Lord, for every person that is here tonight, and Lord, I pray that tonight you will speak to them in a unique and in a powerful way. I pray, Lord, that the sword of the Spirit will come and touch their hearts and actually cut to the heart, so that these people can get the revelation of what you want to say to them tonight. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Thank you for your presence here. Please let the river of God flow. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to share a passage with you. Some of you that have come to my meetings will have heard this before. But this is a very, very powerful teaching, and I believe that there's a lot of people that need to hear this. So I'm going to be sharing this with you. It comes from the book of Mark, chapter 5, and it's about a person known as the Gadarene demoniac. Mark chapter 5, we read from verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had been often chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, amongst the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran, and he fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you will not torture me." For Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Okay, let's just read up to there for now. Jesus is crossing the waters. He's coming to a different area. The area that he's coming to is the area of the Gerasenes. Now, just to put this into perspective, this area was not a Jewish area. And Jewish rabbis were not supposed to hang around in areas such as that. Jesus was not bound by religion. Jesus was not bound by rules, man-made rules and regulations. How many of you know that the Bible says Jesus came to set the captives free? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen? Amen. Now, most self-respecting, or probably no other self-respecting rabbi would ever be caught dead in a place like that. Jesus did not care. Jesus goes where He is needed. Amen? Amen? And Jesus has time for everybody, and the healing of God extends to everybody. Whether you're pink, purple, white, black, green, doesn't matter. Whether you're Afrikaans, English, Portuguese, Italian, doesn't matter. Amen? Amen. Jesus came to set every captive free. Jesus came to heal every broken heart. Now, the scene opens up where Jesus is going in a boat to an area where he's actually not, according to popular custom of the day, he's not supposed to go to that area. Now, here's my question. Why do you think Jesus actually went to this area? Let's talk about that. If he wasn't supposed to go there, why did he go there? Because Jesus probably knew that in this area was a man who was bound by an enormous amount of evil, was causing big problems for a lot of people, and was stuck in his situations, and he didn't know what to do to change his life. Because you must understand something. Sometimes you can fall so deep into that pit, you can be so bound by that which you, controls you, that it is virtually impossible for you to come out on your own. I want to ask a question. Is there anybody here tonight that believes that there are circumstances in their life that even if they have to try everything they can think of, it is impossible without God's help for things to change? Well, if there's so many of you that believe that that's true, then I believe that it could also be the case with this man. You see, we don't know. It's quick for us to judge. And you know, people are very quick, oh, but you know what, this one is like this, and that one is like that, and that one deserves that because they have this past, etc., etc. Does your past count with God? No. Let's get one thing straight. Everybody has a past. Not one of us here is perfect. We were not born perfect. We came into an imperfect world. We were exposed to a lot of imperfect situations. Some of us were molested. Some of us were raped. Some of us were hurt. Some of us were beaten up. Some of us were accused falsely. People spread lies about us. And you know what? All of these things impact our life and can sometimes cause us to react the way we don't necessarily want to. Is that right? And sometimes we fall into drug abuse. Sometimes we fall into sexual perversion. Sometimes we fall into funny addictions. Sometimes we develop problems with anger and rage and violence, etc., etc. There could be a lot of reasons why that happened. God is not going to judge you on that. He wants to help you. But I want you to understand something. You can only break free down here. You're not going to break free up there. Whatever you don't deal with here, you're going to have to deal with up there before God one day. Now, here we have a gentleman who obviously must have done some pretty bad things to get all these spirits in him. Now, let's throw this out there. There is a good chance that this man was involved in the occult. He was involved in some form of satanic worship. Back then, they probably didn't call Satan, Satan. Whether they called him that or not, I don't know. But there was obviously demons around from the dawn of the ages, and people used to worship them and bring sacrifices and offerings and all sorts of stuff to them. Now, why do I say that this man probably worshipped the devil? Well, interestingly enough, where did he live? He lived in the tombs. Not caves. There's a big difference. What is a tomb? A tomb is a grave. It's like mass graves. Yes, it is caves that are used for burial purposes. So, where do we often find occultic worshippers? They like to hang around the graveyards. And the Bible says, and always night and day. In other words, he was a creature of the night. Where do you find occultic worshippers? You find them mostly getting together at night. Why? Because Satan is called the Prince of Darkness. And he's more powerful in the dark than what he is in the day. He likes to walk around in the shadows. Right? He was always crying and cutting himself. All right? What is often involved in satanic worship? Blood. Bloodletting. There has to be blood because without blood there is no sacrifice. He was crying and cutting himself. And just to put this into perspective, if you look at the original languages, if you look at the original Greek and you go and study that just a little bit, you will see that this man wasn't just slightly, you know, making a little hole in his skin and letting a couple of drops fall. He was slashing himself to ribbons. He was cutting himself to pieces. And why was he doing that? Because he was worshipping false gods and he had to appease these gods. That's the one thing about Satan. Satan demands your blood. Jesus gave his. Which one you want to serve? You should serve the one that chose to give his blood. You don't have to give no blood to Jesus Christ. But when you want to serve the devil, he's always going to insist he wants blood. This man had a problem. This man was quite possibly involved in occultic worship. The Bible says he was living in the mountains and in the tombs. What did you always find on the high places? That was where they used to worship to the false gods. You see, Satan has always had a problem. He wants to look better than what he is. The reason he got kicked out of the heavens is because he confronted Christ and he went into a rebellion against Jesus Christ. He tried to take his position. He said, I will put my throne above. I will be like the Most High. I will. You go and read the scriptures, you will find five times. He said, I will, I will, I will. He wants to be like Christ. He wants to be better than Christ. And whenever he gets worshipped, he wants people to worship him on the high places because he wants to appear bigger and more powerful and more whatever. He's not. But that's how we can probably make the deduction that this man was involved to some extent in occultic worship. Now, how many demons will you bring into yourself if you start worshiping the devil? Whether you like it or not, you're going to bring a lot of things because it's almost like calling all pockets. You start opening your spirit up and you start calling evil things to come into you. Will they come? Yes. Why? Because demons are always looking for a place for them to go and hide. They are always looking for somebody that they can use. Why do demons need people? Because demons are spirits. And spirits are limited in the world that we live in what they can do. You see, if a spirit wants to beat you to death with a club, the spirit can't pick up the club. But if the spirit can go into a man, start controlling the man, he can pick up the club and he can start murdering people. Do you understand? If a spirit wants to get drunk, he can't pick up the whiskey bottle and drink it. But if he can get into you and he can start controlling your body, he can feed like a parasite off of your body, he can get drunk through you and he can force you to destroy your life. Do you understand? Spirits like to do perverted things. But spirits need people to inhabit so that they can do the perversion that they like to do. So here's the thing. There's always demons out there looking for hosts that they can control. Demons like to lose their tempers. But if a demon loses its temper in this room, in its spiritual form, It's not going to affect us because we can't hear it scream. We can't see it throw a tantrum. We can't see it perform. But if it grabs hold of you or me or somebody else, it can break the windows. It can shed, it can smash everything to pieces, and it's going to have a result. Why? Because it's got a body that it can control. Now, this gentleman quite possibly got involved in things like that. And when you get involved in things like that, you quickly open yourself up to really bad, evil things, the type of evil things that will use your body to cut yourself to pieces to bring sacrifices to Satan, which is what the devil loves. But now, what if somewhere along the line, you realize you made a big mistake? What if somewhere along the line, you realize not only did I make a big mistake, but this is not what I want for my life, and I would love to change this, but I don't know how. How do you change it? The answer is you can't unless you get help. You know, the other night we were talking about the two different kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of Satan. Satan's kingdom is powerful, but God's kingdom is all powerful. And there's a big difference. And Jesus said, Satan will not cast out Satan, yet Satan can be cast out. So if Satan doesn't cast out Satan, then how is Satan cast out? Satan can only be cast out by something more powerful than him, and that's Jesus Christ. Getting back to this gentleman, I can't prove any of this to you, but this is my take on it. This man got involved in satanic things. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. Slowly but surely, more and more demons came into him, and it got to the point, you know, people when they play with the devil, they always think they're in control, and the devil will make you think you're in control till one day, you will realize that you've lost all control, and now what do you do to take it back? You can't, because you're not strong enough. This man came to that place. Probably something inside of him was crying out for help, but he didn't know who to cry out to. He didn't know who Jesus was. He had no idea. But God knew who he was. And God knew that if this man's life can be changed, it will be a sign to the people of who Jesus is. That he did come to set the captives free. That he did come to heal the brokenhearted. That through him you can have abundant life. So here's this man. Let's look at his story. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. I want to speak about that. When this man came to meet Jesus, the word meet there, it's got nothing to do with to meet him. He came to wage war. He came to bring destruction. The Bible says when he saw Jesus afar off, the word saw there doesn't imply that he saw him with his physical eyes. He sensed him. When you work with evil spirits, you start picking things up because the spirits in you start controlling your life. Many times when people are involved in the occult, they will sometimes just know things. People will, through spiritism, the third eye gets opened, and a lot of times the spirit world can communicate to you. Now, did the demons like Jesus? Does Satan like Jesus? No. Now, take into account, now Jesus is not in Jewish territory. Now Jesus is coming over into what would be called Gentile territory or unbeliever territory. Did Jesus just come to save the saved, or did he come to save the lost? He came to save the lost. Now, this is where Satan's stronghold is. Jesus is on his way. Something is going to have to happen because the devil doesn't want Jesus there. Now, who's his number one man in the area? Well, it has to be this man. Look at how much power this man had. The Bible says 10 men couldn't bind him. He would break their chains as if there was nothing. Everybody in this area was scared of him. He was like Satan's enforcer in this area. And this man was probably, the Bible says there was two places that you would find him. Either on the mountains, sacrificing to Satan, or in the tombs, busy doing some weird and wonderful rubbish. If this man saw Jesus from afar off, where was he? Possibly he was on the mountaintop, but it doesn't have to be because he saw Jesus, he sensed him. You know, good and evil can sense one another. And when Jesus was on his way, every principality and power over that area was like freaking out. Oh, he's coming in our direction. Oh, we don't want this. Okay, we got to get rid of him. Ah, I know what we're going to do. Charge up legion. Send him to sort out this man. And every demon inside of this man started getting charged. And he was like a raging bull. And he just knew somebody's coming and he has to go and sort this person out. When he came to meet Jesus, he didn't come to make friends. He came to destroy this man because every demon, every evil spirit in him wanted to bring destruction to Jesus Christ. He wanted to be, Satan wanted him to be stopped. I don't want you in this area. This is my territory. What are you doing here? Okay. Now, this man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons off of his feet. Have you ever seen the type of chains that they made in those days? We're not talking about the type of chain that you go and buy at your local hardware store. We're talking about huge, thick pieces of metal wire that was bent and put together under high heat and pressure. And you know what? We're talking about very, very powerful, strong irons. This man broke them like they were nothing. Here's my question. How much satanic power must you have within you to be able to do that? I mean, it's phenomenal. The old King James translation says he was often bound by chains and fetters. Who knows what fetters are? Fetters were the things that they used to use in the olden days, that huge block of wood that they would put around your neck. Your arms would go through the sides and your neck would come through, and it would be roughly the same thickness of your neck. We're talking about a piece of wood that thick that clamps together, and then this holds you. He broke that as if it was nothing. How much power must you have within you to break something like that? Okay, why am I asking you this question? Because I want you to understand how much satanic power was in this man. This man was extremely powerful. Now let's go on. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, okay, I explained to you that the word saw there doesn't imply seeing, it implies feeling with your senses. In other words, the spirit world revealed to him that there was a man coming, go and sort this man out, we don't want him in this area, deal with him. Okay. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him. Now, the word ran there is the same word that is used when you go into a battle and you charge. This man wasn't running like we think. He was charging as to go into battle to go and fight and to bring as much death and destruction as he can. Okay, now, I've set the scene. I want you to understand something. The meeting between Jesus and this man was never supposed to be docile. It wasn't supposed to be friendly. It was supposed to be destructive. Satan wanted to use this man to destroy Jesus. But this man, no matter the fact that he was a puppet used by Satan, was still a man. He was still somebody created by God with hopes and dreams and aspirations. He was still somebody that God placed on this earth for a purpose. And he made some stupid decisions. Let me see the hands of anybody in this area that has ever made some stupid decisions. Just wave at me. And how many times has your stupid decisions caused you to fall into a pit where you thought to yourself, man, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Okay, now this man was like that. He'd made some stupid decisions. Maybe, let's make this relevant. You know, boys always want to impress girls, right? And let's just say that there is this really hot chick involved in some questionable activities in your school. You like her and you would like to have a chance to maybe get to know her better. And she invites you to this meeting. And when you get to this meeting, everybody is wearing black and there's like funny things happening, but you want to impress her. And even though your spirit is troubled and you know you shouldn't be there, it's like, oh, but I really want her to like me. So, you know what? Everybody's cutting their fingers and dripping blood in the glass, so I'll do it. First, I want to say, what were you thinking? But then again, you don't understand how a boy's brain works when he wants to get close to a girl. You know, it's just... And you go and you do something like that. And suddenly you get hooked because you see through that, through some satanic ritual, evil spirits start getting a hold of your life. And because of a stupid decision, maybe 10 or 15 years later, yeah, this oak is stuck. He's got so much satanic power in him that there's nothing that he can do to break it. And he doesn't know how to break it. So what does he do? He rather goes along with it because, you see, this is how the devil works. If you don't go along with him, he'll punish you. So the more times he doesn't go along with the devil, the more these demons start cutting him and crying. I'll never forget, I prayed for a girl. We're talking many, many years ago. She had a lot of evil spirits in her because she got involved in the occult. She was involved in devil worship. She did all sorts of sacrifices to the devil. I'm not going to go into too much detail there, but she did some really bad stuff. And you know, the demons in her used to torment her and torture her in ways like you can't even begin to imagine. They would take control of her and they would take her fingers and they would, you see this bricks here. They would take her fingers and they would just start doing that. They would rub all the skin off. She would black out, and when she comes to, she's sitting with a knife and she's busy cutting the pieces of her flesh out. All to teach her a lesson when she wasn't doing what they wanted her to do, to keep her to toe the line. You see, Satan uses fear to control people. And now she starts getting afraid, so now she starts being obedient. And probably that's what's happening to this man. His life is being controlled. His life is being destroyed by these things, but he has to go along because what else must he do? And then he gets sent to go and sort out Jesus. Don't you tell me that Jesus didn't know he was there, because Jesus did. God knew this man was there, and God had a plan with this man's life. I want to say to you, no matter where you are, God still has a plan with your life. Let's put it this way. Probably, and this is just probably, this man was in a tomb somewhere, busy cutting himself. Was he cutting himself because he wanted to? Nobody wants to cut themselves. Not to the extent that this man did it. But the spirits in him, the demons in him, the evil that was with him, was forcing him to do this because Satan wants blood. Satan loves destruction. And probably he was sitting there thinking to himself, man, how much worse can my life really get? I'm really in the pit right now. Nothing was ever going to change for me. And then he gets this assignment. There's a man coming. Go and sort him out. Go and destroy him. And he's on his way there. Little does he realize that in the twinkling of an eye, his life is about to change. There's a passage of scripture here that unfortunately was changed in the New International Version. The King James Version says, he ran, he fell at Jesus' feet, and he worshipped him. And that makes a very big difference. Now, when he saw Jesus afar off and he ran, he went to go and fight. He went to go and destroy. Yet when he eventually got to the feet of Jesus, he fell at his feet and he worshipped him. Now, here's my question. What changed? I'm going to explain something to you. This man did not like what he was doing. Probably in the beginning, let's relate it to people today. A teenager might get involved in Satanism because I want more power. People always reject me. Nobody likes me. Nobody has time for me. And then when I get involved in the occult and I start wearing black and I start developing a reputation because of fear, people are intimidated by me and I suddenly have power and I like that power. Well, you see, the devil will only give you a little bit and then he'll take a lot. Then you get hooked like this man was. And then the enemy starts using you and he starts bringing a lot of destruction. Now here's the thing. This man, he fell into that trap. The devil had him. But he didn't like his circumstances, because nobody that's in that place really likes their circumstances. Deep inside of him, he thought to himself, what have I done to my life? Man, I just wish something could happen to change my life. Probably he tried to commit suicide how many times? The devil doesn't want him to die because he's useful. Do you understand? He's useful. He starts running towards Jesus. He knows that the spirits in him want this man dead. He's going, I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to maim him. And now he starts getting closer to Jesus. How many of you know the Bible says God is love? What motivated Jesus to do for people what he did? It's called love. The closer he came to Jesus, nobody ever liked him. Everybody in that area rejected him. Everybody feared him. And yeah, he's coming towards a man. And this man is not threatened by him. This man is not intimidated by him. In fact, he sees something in this man's eyes that he has never seen in the eyes of any other person before. What does he see in Jesus' eyes? He sees love and he sees hope. And I tell you what, this man has never seen these things before. It freaks him out. And it freaks out every demon in him. Because love conquers everything. It is because of love that Jesus gave his life. If Jesus was willing to give his life for us, what is he not willing to give to this man? And the closer this man gets to Jesus, the more he realizes that this is what I've been crying out for. This is what I've been trusting for. I'm not saying he trusted God, because he probably didn't even know God. But deep inside, he was hoping that something would happen to change his life. And for the first time in his life, he has this hope that his life is going to change. To the extent that when he came to Jesus, instead of hitting or kicking or whatever it was that he normally used to do, he just falls at Jesus' feet and he begins to worship him. God came to change this man's life. God came to give this man hope. This is what Jesus said. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you will not torture me." Is this the man talking or the demon? This is the demon. Jesus has no reason to torture this man. But Jesus has already shown that he can't tolerate demons, and where they need to be put in their place, Jesus has no problem to do that. And don't you think the demons in this man did not know that? Because they did. "For Jesus said to him, 'Come out of this man, you evil spirit.'" Jesus came to change people's lives. Jesus came to set the captives free. How much more captive could you be than this man? He was probably at that point in time the most captive man in that whole area, if not the entire world. How is this? God sends his son straight to this man to go and change his life. Can I tell you why? Because everybody in that area knows this man. Everybody in that area knows how absolutely hopeless his situation is. Everybody in that area knows how destructive the forces inside this man is. If this man's life changes, it sends a message to everybody that there is hope. Amen? Amen. That anything can change when Jesus comes into the picture. Now, let's look at this. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." You know, when you ask a single person a question and he answers you in the plural, then you know you got problems. That's right. It's like, "We. Who are you?" "We are." Probably there's a problem here. The demon is speaking, not the man. The demon is speaking and he's trying to intimidate Jesus. He's trying, because demons do that. You know, if you've been here and you've seen us cast out demons, it's like, "Come out." "No, come out. I'm not going to leave. Come out. I'm going to come back. Come out." Wah. They always try and intimidate you. They always try and give you a hard time. This demon is telling Jesus, hey, you want to take me on? Let me just put you in the picture. Yeah, we plenty. And we're going to give you a hard time. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Now, who knows what the word legion means? All right. Some of you are close, but none of you are correct. The word legion is a numeral, and it is the number 6,826. When Jesus asked, "Who are you?" the demon answered and said, "We are 6,826. That's a lot of demons. That's a lot of demons. You understand why this man could break chains? Do you understand why this man could not be tamed? Why he was as destructive as he was? A large herd of pigs was feeding in the hillside nearby. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us amongst the pigs and allow us to go into them." Jesus gave them permission and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and they were drowned. Okay. How many demons did this man have? Enough demons to kill 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of demons. And just like that, this man was set free. This man made some mistakes in his life. The devil will say to you, that you must pay for the rest of your life for the mistakes that you have made, but you don't have to. Jesus came to set the captives free. Your past has nothing to do with it. Everybody has a past. Everybody makes mistakes. What did this man do? I don't know. Did he murder people? Did he kill people? Did he ritually sacrifice people to Satan? I don't know. I have no idea. But I'm sure he did some pretty bad stuff to get that amount of demons in him. Because you don't just get that many demons. It takes a lot of time and a lot of evil to get that much rubbish into you. But even that made no difference. Because Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. But, and this is a big but, it was still this man's choice to either fight or worship Jesus. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. The one thing that all the demons in him could not stop was the decision that he made to worship Jesus. You know, those demons sent him to fight. And they had ways and means to force him to do what they wanted. But when this man saw for the first time, here is an opportunity for me to break free. Here's an opportunity for me to change my life. No matter how many demons were in him, he did not care. He made a decision. I am going to change my life. And this man is no different from you and me. You know, there are some of you here, you're battling, you got problems. Do you know what God wants from you? God wants from you what he wanted from this man. Willingness. You have a will. Satan can't override your will, and God will not force you to make any decision. But if, like this man, tonight you get the revelation that no matter where you are, no matter how bad your problems, if you allow Jesus, things can change. Then things can change. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God did for this man, God is willing to do for you if you come to the same place where this man came to. If you realize your need for your Savior, you can be saved. If you realize your need for the healer, you can be healed. If you realize your need for deliverance, God will set you free. You see, the problem with most people is most people come for prayer because somebody else told them, oh, you need prayer. It doesn't work that way. It was this man that chose to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship him. And in the same way, it'll have to be you that falls at the feet of Jesus and chooses to worship him and chooses to accept him and chooses to embrace what he wants to do in your life. Nobody can force you to do it. Nobody can push you to do it. You have to do it by yourself. This man's life changed when he was given a window, a small window of opportunity, and he grabbed it and he said, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Please help me. That's all God wants from you too. To come to a place where you say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I can't do this myself. Lord, please have mercy on me. Lord, please help me. God needs you to make a choice. And I can tell you something. When this guy made the choice to fall at the feet of Jesus to worship him, he also made the choice to leave his past behind and change. And that'll never change. What God wants from us is repentance. You know, it's easy to come to me and say, oh, pray for me for this and this and this and this. But God can see in your heart whether you mean business and you want to change. And sometimes we pray for people and nothing happens and they wonder, oh, but why does nothing happen? I'll tell you why, because God can read your heart. God knows why you're standing there. God knows what's going on in your heart. If you're doing it to please your mother or your father or your uncle or your auntie or your wife or your husband or your children, God and the devil both know. Nothing's going to happen. But if you mean business, and if you make a decision, and you choose to repent, you choose to lay down, you choose to change, God will help you. Just like he helped this man. This man, his life changed in one encounter with Jesus. If you read, I'm not going to go into that now, but if you read this passage, later on this man was clothed and sane and in his right mind, and he came and spoke to Jesus and he said, please, wherever you go, I want to go with you. Whatever you do, I want to do it for you. Take me with you. I want to be one of your disciples. Jesus looked at him and he said, that is not for you. God's will for your life is go back to your people and show them that God healed you. Show them that God had mercy on you. Testify of the love of God. Testify of the grace and the mercy of God. Show people that God is real. Do you know that this man built one of the first Christian churches in that area? The little church still stands today. It's a monument. A man with no hope. Yet in one glorious encounter with Jesus, his life was changed forever. Do you think you're different from this man? We're all the same. If God could change this man's life, he can change yours. Here's the question. Do you want it? This man wanted it. He didn't even know exactly what he wanted, but he knew he needed something. And when he came close enough to Jesus and he saw the love in his eyes, something probably touched his heart and said to him, "This is the man. Worship him and see what he will do for you." So I don't know you. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know where you are right now, but some of you feel that you are also in a place where there's things that only God can help you to sort them out. Good news, God still helps people today like he helped this man. Amen. If you can come to that same place where you say, "I want it. I will change. I will work with God." Then your life is about to change. Amen? Amen. Did anybody learn something? Yes. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Now, I want all of you to close your eyes, please. Just honor me for this. Just close your eyes, please. Tonight's message is probably firstly a message of salvation. This man was lost, and through Jesus Christ he was found. But he first had to find Jesus for that to happen. He was given an opportunity, and who knows, he might never have had another opportunity. He made the most of his opportunity, and I want you to make the most of yours. So I want to give you an opportunity. There's some people here that I don't know. In fact, most of you, yeah, I don't know. But God knows you, and you know yourself. If you've never truly found Christ, if you feel that, like just like this man, you're somewhere far off, and I'm also speaking to those that have drifted away from God. There was a time where maybe you knew the Lord well, and you had a good relationship with him, but because of trials, tribulations, problems, pressures, whatever, you know right now you're very far from God. Or you've never truly met Jesus. If you don't really know the Savior, then I want to give you an opportunity. Today is your day. If you feel that this message spoke to you about your life, if you feel that this man's circumstances reflect to some extent your own life, and you want to meet Jesus the healer, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the deliverer, and you want to know him intimately the way you should, then I want you to raise your hand for me now. Well, praise God. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I want everybody in this place to pray this prayer with me. Don't let the person next to you sit and pray it on their own, because then they feel a little bit funny and sometimes people stop. So let's help them. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God, that you died on the cross for all of my sins. And I believe, Lord, that you rose again from the dead, where you conquered sin. Every devil, every demon, every curse. I believe, Lord, you conquered all sickness and all infirmity. And I believe you are the truth. You are the way and you are the life. And through you, I choose to come back to my Father. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all my sin. Today I choose to repent. Today I choose to change. I lay down my pride, my self-righteousness, my arrogance, and I humble myself before you. Savior, please save me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And now, in accordance with the word of God, I want to say to you that your sins are forgiven. Amen. Praise God. All right. Ladies, if you can help us, please.